Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 25th, 2017, and you are listening to Three Geek Senate. The Senate is now in session. Hi, my name is Brian J. Cano.
Hi, my name is Paul Bradford.
And I am Robert Buxar.
And tonight, on the docket, we're going to be going into something that's a little close to my heart. It's collections and collectors. And throughout our geek nerdery, we've all collected things. I know personally, I grew up in the collect them all, maybe not necessarily trade with your friends generation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I've said on multiple occasions, my apartment is filled with stuff and collections. And I'm the type of person that if I get one thing of a series, I now am tasked to get them all. It's just it's a mental thing that I'm programmed to do this. How about you guys?
I'm kind of the same way, but especially like with comic books and stuff like that, it's like much more so recently. But yeah, it was always just like we said before, the completionist idea. Mm-hmm. You want to get one through whatever the current is, and then, you know, even if you're not paying so much attention to it, I've got it. I know I've got it.
I was funny you mentioned comics, because in the 90s when I was big into comics, that's how I started with X-Men comics, and that branched to X-Force, X-Factor, Generation X, Backstories, and it's like everything that's connected to that universe, I figured, oh, I've got to have and start collecting. And as I'm going forward, I also have to start getting back issues, and man, yeah, that got insane.
That can
See,
get dangerous.
I did the comic book thing for a little while. I mean, I didn't go all out. I mean, I was a Spider-Man and X-Men. That's... I enjoyed a lot of the Spider-Man stuff, and I think for me though, it was I liked the books when they released that. Obviously, they did the stories and that, but when they put the book together, because I think the one that stood out for me was Ultimate Carnage.
Oh wow, yeah.
And that was for me. That was the one I remember. That one I remember how you know the names. You know, I remember Venom and I loved those characters.
So you got more of the trade paperbacks when they got the collections. Yeah, those.
Yeah,
are cool.
I mean, I'd get the remake origin comics and things like that when they did like the Amazing X-Men and the Astonishing? Oh, it could have been the Incredible.
It's probably been all of the above at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the same goes for Spider-Man.
Because they did the Ultimate stuff in the early 2000s. You know, they did the Ultimate stuff,
right,
for Marvel.
The Ultimate.
I also really like the art in the comic books, though. I think for me, there was a phase, probably late 90s, where it was almost graffiti-esque, and I really liked that. I liked the way that they did the styling, that I would actually sit there and draw the comic book characters from the thing, and I loved that whole element to it.
It sounds that sounds like Jay Lee.
Jolly.
He did a lot of
it's that Asian influence in the it's almost a sketch esque, not exactly, but the artwork is a little bit kind of it's different. It's got a different vibe to it.
That style moved over into things you saw on TV like Samurai Jack.
I didn't like that one. That's not
what?
The one. No,
you didn't like Samurai Jack?
I never watched it because it wasn't in the UK.
Get out.
It wasn't. It wasn't that. I mean,
we
didn't have Cartoon Network. You know,
it's funny because every time Paul relates his childhood lately, I feel like he's an Oliver. It's like we did have TV. We did have movies. we didn't have bread. Please, can I have some more?
Wow. I had 5 channels. You know.
Yeah, and they were all run by the state.
BBC One, BBC Two.
No, there was BBC One and BBC Two. Those ones are the ones you had to pay for but you had to pay for those with a TV license. So in order to have a TV,
actually, what you did is you paid for it by lack of input into your childhood.
No, that's rude.
Oof.
Damn.
Ooh, it's getting hot here on the floor.
I'm just giving you hell. I'm just giving.
No, I still haven't forgiven you for last week's Indiana Jones debacle. Anyway, so we had 5 channels, but the first two you had to have a TV license. If you had a TV, you had to have a TV license. That's what paid for BBC One and BBC Two. Then you had channels 3, 4, and 5, which were actually paid for by commercials. So BBC One and Two didn't have commercials, but the other ones did. But anyway, I don't even remember where we're going to. You just said I was really poor. You suck. Yeah. Anyway, so, wow, you guys are so mean.
No,
I need a fourth
here's the thing.
Senate.
But
so
think of it.
You're
like a Schwarzenegger story. You come here to the States, and now you're a senator.
Oh, my God.
But that, we hate to tell you.
Living the American dream.
You'll never be president of California.
Well, get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. Do it. Do it now.
Do it now.
Now we're going to do something extremely fun. So we're going to play a game called Who is Your Daddy and What Does He Do?
What the hell? Where
Kindergarten Cop? Come on, guys.
You don't know
my
that.
God, yes.
Okay.
My
good
God.
Kindergarten Cop all day.
Wow.
Anyway,
did you know they made a sequel to that? It wasn't Schwarzenegger. It was a sequel. It was awful.
What?
It was called Absolutely Kindergarten awful. Cop, the sad the sad ones.
Wait.
The sad sequel.
No, yeah. Seriously, go back. I'm not aware of this at all.
Oh, yeah, there was a sequel, and it was basically the same movie, but without Schwarzenegger. So they had another guy come in who was an undercover cop had to go to...
Dolph Lundgren was in that.
Was he?
I'm looking at IMDb right now, and it came out in 2016. What? Kindergarten Cop 2.
Interesting.
I remember seeing it. It's just awful. There's movies we recommend. There's movies we recommend staying the hell away from.
That's like the next Karate Kid. They just should have stopped.
Yeah, we put that in the train wreck section.
Yeah, that should. We should actually open up a sort of like a Vault 101, you know, and we just stick these movies way. And we lock them away so that other people don't actually have the misfortune of watching them.
Well, it's almost there are apps and there's certain plugins online that will replace certain things with other things. Like there's a, you can go online and get it. There's an app or something that any mention of Trump will replace it with kitten pictures. So that if you don't want to be bombarded with the politics, you just have cute kitten pictures. So all the movies we don't like will be replaced with, you know, the good movies that we do recommend.
Is that legit? Is that really? That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what people can do with their things. With what is essentially a phone.
Yeah. And plugins are amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, collectors.
Anyway,
Where were we?
We were at comic books at first.
Kindergarten Cop 2.
I'll jump into that.
Is that your biggest collection, Rob? Comics?
Well, this is my current thing. I buy.
You say current. Hang on, you say current. But how long have you been collecting comics?
So I got So when I was a kid, when I was a kid, you know, before high school, stuff like that. You know, I had the jobs cutting grass and stuff like that. You know, grandparents and stuff like. I would get money. I would go to the comic shop. I'd buy comics. You know, I've got some from that period of time. And then there's what I like to refer to as the dark years for me.
Okay.
Because I was, you know, very much a geek. I was very much a nerd. Problem was, not everybody around here in Louisville had the same interest. And I would find that I would make fun of a lot growing up. I was picked on a lot and all this stuff. So I tended to not talk about that stuff. And what do you do when you're in an awkward stage? You try and deny everything that there is about you fit in. So that's what happened. And then it just became part of life. You know, I would still like the stuff, but I would do it kind of in private as far as like watching movies. I would talk about it with family and a couple of friends, but I was never I would never publicly talk about the stuff. I would never be admit to being a geek.
So you were a closet geek for a long time.
I was, because if you remember when we were growing up, it wasn't cool.
No, it definitely wasn't.
It was not cool. And I got beat up. I got made fun of. I got, you know, pushed around and joking. And some of my friends, you know, they were not what I would what I said were friends weren't really friends.
No,
but you know,
other
people I was
around to
because I tried to fit in.
Right,
but
age proximity associates.
Right, there you go. That I like that one. So that's what happened. You know, and me being an introverted, anxiety filled type person, I didn't like to push the envelope a lot, so I would just keep it to myself. Let's just say I had a lot of alone time to myself growing up and in high school. But
it seems like they a lot of the movies of our childhood spoke to that. You had movies like Never Ending Story. You had movies like Cloak and Dagger. You had movies like The Last
Cloak
Starfighter.
I love Cloak and Dagger.
Anytime an outsider kid gets thrust into greatness and kind of shows his worth over those people who are trying to put him down. And all those movies, you know, they really speak to us as a generation.
Oh my god,
I loved it. That's why I like
Goonies.
Goonies.
I always like the underdog.
Down here, it's our time.
Yeah, exactly.
And Rob, I'm going to mimic actually very much what you were saying a minute ago. I was a geek. You know, I grew up with Doctor Who. That's one thing that's basically been throughout my life is Doctor Who. That's the one show that since birth, let's face it, I think my first ever episode was around about 1984, when I was actually, you know, 5 years old. I was able to actually comprehend what was going on, and I followed it all the way through the 80s up to 89 when it went on hiatus for a couple of years, and it came back in, I think it was 92, 93, something like that, when America got hold of it. I probably won't ever forgive you for that.
It was one episode.
It was, yeah, they called it the movie.
It was one episode.
Yeah, well, anyway, you screwed it up. And then it took
Wasn't it Peter McGann?
Paul McGann.
He did a decent job, I think.
He did, because he was British.
Yeah.
but ultimately, though, he did. And he remained canon, except for the fact, I mean, Eric Roberts was the master.
Yes, he was.
They screwed up a lot of the thing that America tried to make the Doctor half human and things like that, and we sort of managed to sweep that under the rug a little bit and ignored that element. And then it came back in 2005, and Chris Eccleston took over, and then it was David Tennant and then Matt Smith and now Peter Capaldi. But I grew up with Doctor Who, and that was not cool. I was the geek. I was definitely an outsider at school. Whereas you had that anxiety thing, I didn't have anxiety so much as I sort of not lashed out, but I would try and use humor as my defense. That was my thing. I would use
I relate to that 100%.
Yeah, and you know, and what the thing with me is that I got bullied throughout school. I got beat up nearly every day throughout my high school, you know, it was either they were going to pick on the geek, they were going to pick on the fat kid, or they're going to pick on the ginger kid, and I just happened to fall in all three categories on that. So
hat trick,
you know, hat trick. Yeah, so I was target number one, and it was always the same guy, and it was always, you know, the same scenario. I knew that after physical education, when we were getting changed, that at some point of me getting changed, he was going to come over here, and then he's going to have a ring of friends around him, and I was going to have my head, you know, my face pounded a few times. And I can take a punch now, no problem. You know, but you know, and I think though, even though, and this is the important thing, even though I did get the shit kicked out of me almost every day throughout school, I never deviated from my interests. And it was, I could watch a movie, I can watch TV, and I can escape.
Yes.
You know, that was my escape. That was my, this, I don't, my reality sucked.
Right.
But my fantasy world and you know, everything else was where I would submerge myself. You know,
yes.
And even like through dark, even like after I left home and I was living with a girlfriend, and then things sort of, we separated, and I was on my own for a while, and you know, I just had my movies. That's all I had. I had a PlayStation 2 with one game. I had one game. I had Quake 3. It was,
please, PlayStation, could I have some more?
I ended up buying the entire set of Buffy, like the entire every single Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The Weebverse.
I watched them like. Through and that helped get me through. I mean, Grant, I had a thing for Willow, sure, but you know, I watched all of Buffy, and that was sort of, that got me through a certain period of time, and I will remember that. I can go back and watch them now, and I'd be like, they're not that great. But you know, ultimately, my geekism, my love for sci-fi is what really was how I survived growing up.
Yeah.
You know, that is, I mean, you know, we all had shit going on. We all had dark times. We all had, you know, we all experienced that. But we all had an escape for that. And I think, you know, whatever our fandom is, whatever the thing is that we enjoy, it's what's made us who we are today. And I think, you know, I will treasure that for sure. Because, and you know, I have, like we're saying, collectors and collectibles and things like that. I have an extensive collection of Doctor Who stuff. And my dad encourages it because my dad is just as bad as I am. My dad has a huge Doctor Who collection, and then he generally goes out and buys two in case one's broken, and then
I take the second one and one to play with.
No, actually, it's one to leave in the box and one for me to take.
Okay.
except my sister. This is the other. Oh, my sister's really pissing me off, and she'll probably listen to this, so I might not go into it too much. But no, screw it. Whatever. She won't listen to this. So my sister got into Doctor Who when it became cool.
Yeah.
And she got a tattoo on her back of the TARDIS before I even had a Doctor Who tattoo. I was like, this is bullshit, all right? Right now, this is bullshit. And then she started decorating her whole house, and she has the whole timey-wimey reference going up her stairs. And I was like, you've got to be shitting me here. This is ridiculous. I mean, I built a TARDIS. That was my workshop. I had a full-size TARDIS in my backyard, and that was my workshop for a while. I had I've built two Daleks full-size and K9. You know, and yet she's the biggest fan. Get out. She was only a fan when it got cool. And now she posts pictures with her and people. She goes to the conventions and sees the people, and she's in this TARDIS dress she's made. I'm like, God, shut up.
See, that's the thing.
It seems like this fandom that really, and you said it perfectly, that it's escapism, and it brings us to a place that we're comfortable with in times when we might not be comfortable with our real lives or society.
Yes.
But it's almost like, as kids, as teenagers, in those early years before the internet, before Facebook or MySpace or whatever the connecting digital force was, that was almost like our connection. Because now we're separated, like us, we're friends. We're separated by states and miles and distance, but we are together in this love of this other world or these other characters that aren't real, but to us hold such meaning.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like but I mean, yeah, you're spot on, because when we were growing up, it was, if you wanted to talk to somebody, you had to call on the phone and you had to wait. It was a landline, and you had to call somebody and you had to make an effort to it. There was no walking around with it or doing it at the spur of the moment. You had to schedule something to make it happen if you wanted to talk to somebody. And then finding somebody was even harder. You didn't have a chat group that you could go to and look up and be like, oh, well, here's all of these people that are into this thing. It was, you had to luckily bump into somebody at something or have a conversation with someone and connect organically that way. And, I mean, that was tough at that time, because if everybody around you wasn't into those things, you could feel very isolated very quick.
Yeah.
And that's a lot what happened. But, like, you know, just looping back and finishing up with what I was saying with that stuff, is like, you know, I very quickly, you know, put that stuff on the back burner, you know, like you're talking about. And then it wasn't up until just a few years ago that I finally was like, you know what? I'm not going to be closeted with this stuff anymore. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace who I am. And fuck it. I'm going to put it out there in the world, and I don't care. And I'll talk to people. Now I'll have a conversation with somebody. Somebody comes up to me and is like, what did you think about this movie? I'm like, why the hell do you want to know what I think about this movie?
Yeah.
And it's like, once I started, you know, and then they're like, then they actually are like, oh, I like your opinion on that. That's a weird thing for me.
Right.
Because I was used to be like, somebody making fun of me.
Yeah, like it would be a trap. Like, if you chose to talk about it, you'd be like, why? You're going to make fun of me, right? So
right. Yeah, you get the choose your own adventure page. It's like, do you say what you feel about this movie and then suffer the repercussions and be beat up? Or keep it to yourself and just move on with life?
Did you go to the page boldly, or did you keep your finger to go back in case you died?
Dude, I did that.
I would read the book with as many different variations as I could. I'm going to be honest. I would go back and I'd be like, well, what if I do this? What if I do this? What if I do this?
I was a huge collector. Now you say that, you just reminded me, because I was a huge collector of... it was, oh my God, they were, what they called, Adventure, Sunk Adventure. They were, oh man, bugger. But anyway, it was by Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone, I think it was. And they were the games books. They were the games books, and they had numbers and that. And I remember that we would go to a lot of these secondhand bookstores and things like that looking for them, because each one was numbered. And I was trying to get a collection.
Oh, like Scorpion Swamp and Robot Commando.
Well, this one had, I kind of, there was, I think the first one I was ever given as a gift was called City of Thieves. And I think it was like the third one in the series or something like that. And then I went, you know, and then I started collecting more. There was one saying Scorpion or something, I can't remember, but what were they called? My God, I'm going to have to look that up anyway. But I think it was something Adventures or...
Adventure Game Books.
They were Adventure Games Books. They were, definitely, but there was like an overall... title as far as what these particular series.
I'm looking at it online. It says Adventure Game Books, Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone present.
Yes.
And it's the different titles. And this one says Fighting Fantasy.
Fighting Fantasy, that was it. That's what it was called. There were Fighting Fantasies. Thank you. Yes, that's what. And I had this, an extensive collection of the Fighting Fantasy stories. That was, yes. Oh my God, you just, because you saying that whole, did you, you know, because I remember like, turn to page 60 if you want to go left and turn to page 80 if you want to go right. So I'd keep my finger there, flick to 60 and go, oh no, I ain't fighting that.
When you see the end at the page, like, nope, nope, didn't do it.
Nope. I went,
2 second rule, I didn't do it.
Yeah, right.
And it's funny because that mattered to us. Like, nope, I got through the adventure on the first try.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, how many times you go through the maze? And the funny thing is, I don't know if you guys did this as well. Like, why did it seem like it was easier to go from the end and get to the beginning?
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, but this is a weird thing with me. I like to start at the end of stuff and sometimes work my way forward. I like to read things in reverse sometimes, and it's a weird thing.
But people think that doing a maze backwards is actually the way to do it because it's a lot easier that way. I'm like, well, hang on.
It's still the same thing. You still have to find one point to another point. It's the same thing.
But psychologically, I think that's it. There was another psychological thing I just read the other day, actually, and this is completely off topic, but as three guys, I just wanted to, like, apparently men are the only ones that when they fill up the tank, they shake the end of the nozzle.
I always do that. Always.
Right.
To get every last drop of gas into that tank.
But it's only men that
do it. Because I got paid for it, I own it.
We work hard for that money. I'm getting every cent's worth.
Right. That's why I thought I was doing it. But apparently it is only men. Now, again, our listeners can debate about that.
We've got the equipment that we usually have to shake when we're done anyway.
That's my point. That's my point. So I thought it was because I was trying to save every penny in that. But apparently, because it's only men, I'm starting to think, oh, well, hang on, maybe it's because. And again, I read this.
We just don't want piss on our hands.
And don't forget, more than three shakes.
Yeah. You're gonna put somebody's eye out,
right? But I read this on the internet, so you know it may not be true. And this is something again we could put this out to our listeners here that as guys we do shake, but do the women actually shake the end of the nozzle when they put the gas in, or is it literally done, put it away?
That's an interesting question.
I'm so curious to know if that's actually true, because when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I do that. So anyway, again, for the listeners, if anyone's listening out there, just comment on our Facebook page or our Twitter page. Just let's think of a hashtag. What should
hashtag
we call it?
Hashtag shake it.
Shake it. Oh, dear. Okay. So hashtag shake it. Thank you, Brian. If you tweet on – if you're a guy, say, you know, just, you know, let us know. Yes. Do you shake it? Oh, my God. This just took a horrible turn.
Okay. I'm going to – we should just be like – hashtag shake it. And let's get back to the rest of this.
Oh, my God. That's, thank you. Please save me. Someone shut me up.
So back. Get the hook. Back to collections.
Oh, God. Yes, back to collections.
So, the thing with me, so it turned into currently the thing I get is comic books.
Yes, okay. So you collect comic books. What do you collect, Brian?
I feel like at one time or another, exactly. I've collected everything because, again, that's just my personality. So when I buy CDs, I buy a lot of CDs. I have to get the whole back catalog. If I buy DVDs, I buy the DVDs. And then after I get the DVDs, well, it used to be VHS tapes. Then I had to convert them all to DVD. Then I had to convert them all to Blu-ray.
I did that. I did the DVD thing, though. If I bought one, I had to get the rest that were in the trilogy. Even if the trilogy sucked.
Oh, yeah.
I still had to get...
Got to be complete.
I don't know about you guys. Actually, I think Rob's actually the same as me on this one. I'm not 100%, but I had all my DVDs in alphabetical order.
I do.
Yeah, so okay, do I. It's got nothing to do with OCD. It's just the fact that I like them in that order.
With the exception of TV shows, I have TV shows in a separate...
Oh my God. And cartoons.
I agree with that. I'm there too. TV shows is alphabetic separately.
Yes.
Do you have Disney together? Do you have Disney separated?
No, I have them all mixed up because I don't have that many.
I had a ridiculous amount of DVDs. That's what I did because I like movies, and that's what I did before comic books. I was a movie buyer. Every week something came out, I went and bought a movie. I had the DVD. Yes. I still have DVDs. I'm out of space for DVDs, so some of them are in boxes.
Well, that's why Tuesdays used to be great because that's when the new things would come out. And I would go to Best Buy and I'm like, I'll take this and this and this and this. Ooh, collector's edition, director's cut, take that.
Right.
And it started to get out of control with all the options.
Just for me in general, I've been having to cut myself off on things. Like, I used to be a huge Star Wars figure collector. And the movies when they came out, you know, the prequels, they said, okay, let's try to recapture the 70s craze on these figures. And they came out with so much stuff. Whereas I would spend my weekends going from Walmart to Target to Toys R Us trying to find the store exclusives for vehicles and figures, and I'm running out of room. Like, Star Wars is taking over my apartment, and I can't sleep or dress or live because
that's my current problem with Loot Crate. I've been getting Loot Crate for 3 years. I have to stop it.
I've been thinking the same thing.
I did stop it.
I've got crates that I'm looking at three crates right now while I'm sitting here. Three crates that I still have. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I opened them. I look at them. I know what's in them. I haven't taken them out to do anything with it. Plus, I get the socks. And I've got socks.
If there's five things in there, I like one thing. And all right, four things, what am I going to do with?
But here's the thing, though, Brian. Like that one thing, if I had seen that in the shop, I probably wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah.
Right? So, although I'm like, oh, this is great. And I think I have not a Funko, not a Pop, but one of those things. And it's a Better Call Saul, and it's Saul Goodman. And I was like, that's cool. But I was thinking, if I'd have seen that in the store, I'd never have bought that.
Right.
So I'm wasting my money on this stuff.
But it's kind of the neat thing with Loot Crate. You kind of get that. And it's turned into an industry. The box delivery thing is now an industry. You can get one for just about any subject. But... Right. It's the cool thing. It's like, it's things you wouldn't normally get. You pay a flat fee, and then something surprisingly shows up at your door, and it's kind of cool. You're like, oh, what am I going to get this month?
It's Christmas and every month.
And you look inside the box, and you're like, oh, well, this is neat. I wouldn't have got this if I hadn't gotten this. This is neat. I got a T-shirt. And even if the T-shirt's kind of okay, you're like, oh, it's a T-shirt. I wouldn't have normally bought this, but I got a T-shirt.
You know, that's you mentioned the T-shirt. For those of you guys listening, this has made it very difficult for Rob and I to be at functions together because we have to plan who gets to wear their Loot Crate shirt first. Yeah. It's like, all right, my Optimus Prime shirt, I'm going to wear it. Okay, no, so you don't wear it. You'll wear the James Bond T-shirt, but I won't wear that.
Packing for me, going to events and stuff like that, knowing that you all are going to be there, and more so, like I said, Brian, because Paul, you know, some of your stuff doesn't match up as much because you don't get the Loot Crate currently. But
no,
we would look at each other.
I design.
Yeah, you do, and that's another thing. That's another cool thing. But it's like throwing. Like when I pack, I overpack because I've got to pack for the unknown. Okay, what if somebody's got the same thing? And it's kind of like the thing. It's like you want to be who you are out in public, but you don't want to be the guy that matches the other three people with the same shirt on. And you're like, oh, well.
When we were at
Kings Island.
No, yes, Kings Island. It was Kings Island. And when we were at what was the convention? Scarefest. I saw so many Sterling Archer shirts. I was like, that's cool. Little did I know when I got home, it was in my Loot Crate. I was like,
right.
Yeah. Was everybody wearing their Loot Crate shirts.
And then you wonder, it's like, okay, so are you representing this just because you got it in your Loot Crate, or are you really into it? That's the thing.
Right. Well, they did a Voltron one, didn't they? Do you remember the Voltron show?
By the way, you talk about Voltron. We've got 2 days until Voltron Season 2 is on Netflix. Just a reminder.
It's actually, it's 1 week.
Yeah. No. Well, either way. I think, no. Yeah. Last week. It would be last week.
Oh, I'm all screwed up with timelines at this point. Anyway.
five little mini lions that combine to form a bigger robot.
Hey, if you're listening to this, go check Netflix. It might have season two on it.
Yeah.
I love Voltron, but I liked the Lion Voltron, which I'm glad they've redone now. The car one, not so much. And the three robot one, not at all.
did you have in Voltron, the original Voltron?
When I had Lionbot.
Did you have the entire Voltron Lionbot in diecast?
I had. See, that's the thing. I had Lionbot. It wasn't Voltron official, but the way they sold it, it was like at a bodega. So the guy literally opened up the case, and you could buy it per lion. So he like would you'd buy a lion, you'd pick the lion, and he would just kind of throw you some of the accessories. So they didn't always necessarily match up to the lion that you bought. So I didn't have a great Voltron toy experience.
I wish I would have had. It's like I remember having the Voltron, and it was diecast. That thing was heavy,
yes,
and it was about a foot tall, at least. I think I'm trying to remember, but it all went together. Had some plastic pieces on it, but a majority of it was diecast.
The body was diecast, yeah,
yeah. Like the legs were plastic. Each of the lions, like the colored, like the red, the yellow, the blue, you know, and the green, all and the black. That was all diecast, but I don't know what happened to it. Like, one day it just disappeared, and I, for the life of me, I've tried to remember, is it in a box? Did I keep it? I don't know what happened to it. It just disappeared.
I have a confession to make. I've never, ever seen Voltron.
Get out. Get out.
I have never seen anything Voltron.
You need to go to Netflix immediately and watch season one of Voltron.
You've already got me watching the Clone Wars.
Here's the thing, Paul. Remember we were talking about things that don't hold up with reviewing? Like, when you were a kid, Voltron cartoon was amazing. It was awesome. It does not hold up. Same thing with Battle of the Planets. Loved it as a kid.
Yes. What's Battle of the Planets?
Oh, it's G-Force.
I knew it as G-Force. I watched it every day G-Force. When I got home from school.
But the cartoon was called Battle of the Planets. Okay. The team is called G-Force. And they were all these...
I don't remember that either.
They kind of dressed up like birds, and they had a very Voltron-esque... There was the fat guy, the kid, the girl, and the two cool dudes.
You know what? I've seen pictures. I've never seen the cartoon.
With the fiery phoenix...
Yeah, I see. And the thing that was disappointing, you're talking about.
We talk about G-Force when Disney made a G-Force movie. It's like, they're doing G-Force! And then it was about hamsters or
kids. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was disappointing. Anyway, sorry to
deal. And that's the thing. And okay, if we're going to go back to Voltron, the opening narration was Peter Cullen. Right.
Really?
Yes. Optimus Prime himself.
Yep.
Wow.
It was so good. Peter Cullen's voice is like... It's one of those things that just resonates in my head. He also did Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. I did meet him.
Really?
Humble brag. Yeah, it's all right. It was in Miami. I think I was doing a convention in Miami.
Yeah.
He was actually sitting next to the guy who does Vader Zim.
See, I know of that name. I've never seen
it. Yeah, Invader Zim. I think that's what it was. But I think the guy... Now, hang on. What about Rocco? Rocco's Simple Life or something? Rocco?
Right.
He does the voices for that as well.
So did you just like sit there and listen to him the whole time? It's like,
yes.
Let's go get lunch. Roll out.
Roll out.
Roll out.
He's like, he's like, can you record my my voicemail?
Oh, my God. How many times do you think he gets that?
A lot.
Tons. If I was a voice actor, I would literally sell that particular thing. I would sell it on my side. Yeah, you could buy it. $20, you can have me do your voicemail.
And I've seen some people do that, what's his name? The Crypt Keeper used to do that.
Yes. And he was at Scarefest last year, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a convention in Arizona where he was actually... You know, they had the MCs at the cons? They had the Crypt Keeper doing the MCing and that, which was great initially, but with the same... cackling and all that stuff going on, you know, it starts to wear out, you know.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So
but anyway,
but in going to that, so what was when you were a kid? Kind of, you know, I think we all talk about Star Wars and stuff like that being kind of our thing, but that seems to be a unifying theme for us. But what was some of your favorite, like, I don't know, collections that you had when you were a kid? Like,
I collected a lot of. I was big into D&D when I was a kid, so for me it was modules and the rule books, and you know, making sure I had all the stuff and planning out the adventures. Sometimes for get-togethers that would never happen, but
See, that's the thing I would love to learn. You know,
me too.
We've talked about before. It's like each one of us kind of has or specialties and things. And
sure.
That's something Brian, I don't know about. Yeah. So one time maybe, you know, that could be a topic of discussion, you know.
Hey, I'd love to
how,
sit
and
down
how
and
to understand, you know, the D&D or the role-playing type game. I it's not for lack of wanting to do it.
See,
I just
feel
didn't
like
I didn't have access to it.
I feel like at our ages, and this is just a guess, mm-hmm. it since it was such a big part of my childhood, it would right. almost be like Voltron. Going back and doing it again wouldn't have the same
right.
resonance because, like, right. Hey, Paul, you and I, last year, we hung out in Australia. We're having actual real adventures across the world. And then to sit in a room and say, I'm a fighter, I'm a thief, I'm a magic user, wouldn't have the same, like, when you're a kid, that's your access to adventures in the world.
Sure.
Now we're living it.
Yeah, see, the thing is, though, is like you can actually go online now. There are there's a show that they put out. It's like Critical Role or something like that, and people, you know, tune in. You know, it's an online thing, but they watch it to see the whole game play out, the whole role playing thing. And I've watched it, and I'm like, man, that's kind of cool. I was like, I would love to have, you know, learned how to do that. So it just, I don't know. And even though getting out and doing stuff, but there are times, you know, when something like that might be fun. If you're with the people, you know, with the right people in that right, you know, environment and being able to do that stuff.
Well, if we get the right people together, we'll end up playing Cards Against Humanity or something.
And then it's just going to go south.
Yeah, it's going to go south very quickly.
I'm honestly really kind of tired of that game. I know that's like blasphemous to say, but it's always comes down to poop or cum, and you could have the most clever answer card in the world, and like even that stuff trumps Batman, and that's blasphemous too. So
yeah, you can't trump Batman,
but they do.
Did you say Trump?
God, just stop!
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and declare this right now. Even though this is called 3 Geeks in
it,
we're not going to deviate into politics or anything like that. This is our escapism. That's why we talk about this stuff. So. Definitely.
Yes. We, that's one of the things we do want to make a point here is basically the things that we talk about are purely our opinion. You know, we aren't the be all and end all of anything geeky, and obviously we're very much open to discussion, and we have the medium for discussion. You have the ways for people to talk to us, and we are very active on our Facebooks and our Twitter and things like that. We are always monitoring that stuff, but it's not a political thing. You know, you've got to, you know, yes, we're the Senate, but really the reference is more of a Star Wars reference.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but you know, we it's not a political thing at all. This is just three guys talking about their fandoms. You know, that's what we do, and we would love to talk with other people.
It includes anybody and all things.
So absolutely.
This is our digital cosplay, such as it is.
Yes.
Yeah, we get
and
to put on our
masks. Speaking of which, cosplaying, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
So you dress up like Bill Cosby and you
yes.
kinda,
too soon? Yeah, well, yeah, I mean it's gonna be too soon for a while,
oh,
I think.
Oh boy.
Yeah. No, I dress up and I
don't discuss Alderaan. Let's get you know.
Ooh, that's true. Yeah. That's hard.
All right. Yeah. So tell us about cosplay. What is it that draws you to cosplay? It's something I've always wanted to do and you do it and I'm kinda envious.
Well, I think a part of it comes from the fact I just want to build stuff. You know, as you know, I do. Well, as I've already mentioned before, I built myself a full size TARDIS. And
you do it so quickly too. I notice like you're very, you know, rapid to have really good, like photos and costumes. Like a movie will come out and 2 weeks later, you're wearing that outfit. I'm like, wow.
When
that
I was
quick.
There, when I was hanging out with him for New Year's. Like we're in the middle of doing stuff. We're kind of watching Clone Wars a little bit, and then we're watching. See what else did we watch? Oh, we watched the Flashpoint paradox. We're watching that, and then the whole time he's taking a frame, an old frame that they got from Goodwill, and he's redoing the entire thing so they can mount a puzzle up on the wall in the frame. And I'm kind of aloof to how the process is going. I see him doing stuff, I see him going outside, I see him coming back. Da da da. I get ready to leave in the early evening. And he's like got this amazing looking picture now that he's gonna hang. I'm like, what the fuck, huh? And he's very quick with the turnaround on it. It's pretty good.
I think that just comes from me. Like I've always been impatient. You know, patience was definitely not one of my virtues. You know, when I want something, I want it now. You know, and I don't have. Yikes, Daddy! I want a squirrel.
Now.
I want a squirrel, Daddy. But no, it ultimately, or is it a goose? I don't know.
The goose.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it? It was a squirrel in the new
remake,
one.
I think. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, so the thing is, I see things that I want. That's how it is. Obviously, we all do the same thing. And whereas you guys,
this is getting dangerously figures. Cosby again.
Uh oh.
Yeah. I should dress as a barman, right? But see, you collect action figures, and I think that's one of the things I really never did do. I mean, I had a Peter Venkman action figure. I think that was one of the first ever action figures I personally bought with my own money that I'd saved up.
Wow. And that was that the real Ghostbusters stuff, or are you talking
about? It was
like
the cartoon
ones. Yeah, the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Yeah, the real Ghostbusters.
Love that stuff. Had those too.
I had my own Peter Venkman, and I did have a Luke Skywalker, but I lost the lightsaber.
The one that came out of the arm?
Yeah, that's the one I had. I lost the lightsaber on that one. I think I probably chewed it off or something. I don't know. But,
wow.
Yeah, anyway. But I was never big into the actual action figures. But what I did like is the memorabilia that came with it. I do have the remote control Daleks from Doctor Who. I collected those. And I have I thought I had an extensive collection, but then I got hit. I got a friend request on Facebook by this guy, and for the life of me, I can't remember his name right now. But when I do remember, and he hit me up, and he was talking and everything, and I was like, why? How does this guy know me? So I assumed he was just because he was a fan of the show. So I went onto the, because I have to check everybody when they send me a friend request. I go onto their Facebook, do a little stalking. Who is this guy? Well, it turns out he's actually got the Guinness World Record for the guy who owns the most Daleks.
Wow!
He has shelves and shelves and shelves of Daleks. He's not even a big fan of Doctor Who, but he loves the Daleks. So anyway, but that was pretty cool when he hit me up. But so I thought I had an extensive collection. He's just crazy way more than me. So I have, you know, these different remote control Daleks. I have some limited edition versions. I have, you know, other things that you can't generally get that are they're not the normal thing you just buy at the store. You have to get them from certain places, or you have to go to the Doctor Who Experience to have that. And a lot of stuff I've also got signed. Because I do the circuits, I do the conventions, and I do get to meet some of the heroes that I grew up with. And that's just from my point of view, that's really what, obviously being on a TV show for a few years has really opened that door to me. It was great doing what I did with Ghost Hunters and you know, actually traveling around the world and I you know, appreciate that element as well. But what it also did to me, for me, is allowed me to go and venture into a side of the conventions, which was behind the table. And
that's where you want to be. Where you want to be.
I'm sitting in the green room with Adam Baldwin, and Bones. Oh my God, Keith Urban.
Yes. Urban.
Carl Urban. He's sitting next to me on a couch, and I'm like, that's Bones. Ultimately, like that's one of the things that you know. So I get things signed as well.
I always feel awkward in those green rooms.
Yeah, I do feel awkward.
I'm the intruder.
Never ask for a photograph.
You all both have a leg up on me. You all have got that experience. I get to do the cons, but I don't get to quite be
like these guys are talking there. Shop, and I'm just like, I'm just happy to be in this room.
Right. Yeah. Right. This is so cool.
Sitting next to Malcolm McDowell, trying to play it cool and not succeeding.
Exactly. Yeah. I try to fit in. I try to go into these things like, hey, yeah, no, I belong here as well, you know. And so, hey, so how's things with you? And I'm like, yeah, that's good. I'm still hunting ghosts. Oh, shit. He's just finished filming Star Trek, and I'm, you know, I'm waiting for the show to come back on.
You know what I would really like to, in talking about him real quick, what I would like to see him do again is another Judge Dredd movie. I think he was great as Judge Dredd.
You know what I really liked him in, and I didn't realize it was him until after Judge Dredd, actually. Doom. I loved that movie, Doom.
I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Dude, I loved it. I just me and my best friend Gareth. We bought the DVD and we put it on, and we were renting a house. And so, you know, people always say don't live with your best friends and things like that. I lived with my best friend, and it was the most amazing time I ever have. But we had this big screen TV. We both worked for electrical retail, so we basically had the best we could get. and we had the surround sound, and we were watching it, and it was great. It was a great movie. And then this thing happened in the movie where suddenly, like, he comes back. He was scratched or something like that. He had to have an injection, and the injection was either going to kill him or bring him back to life, or, mm-hmm. or make him better again. So it all sort of fades to black, and then it comes back, and suddenly it's in the third person. It's now the game Doom, the same soundtrack from Doom.
You know, like, nice.
And you're seeing like him with his gun, and the doors are, and everything about it was just there for a full 2 or 3 minutes. It was like watching the game, and it was amazing. I loved it, and it just, for me, that made the movie. But anyway, going back to the collection. So I collect a lot of the odds and sods from things. I don't necessarily collect the figures, but the remote control toys, the limited edition stuff. But the thing is, what I do is I build the stuff that I can't afford or that aren't even available. Like I have a full-size BB-8. When you stayed at my place, you actually had a photograph. Was you taking a picture with the BB-8 or with the Dalek?
I did with the BB-8 and I did with the Dalek, but I only posted the Dalek.
Okay. See, people stay at my house and then sneak selfies. That's what
so
they do.
Many of these things in our collections, it's definitely for love of the property and not usefulness, because I've got three lightsabers that I will never have use for. I've got, Vader's lightsaber, Anakin's lightsaber. It's like, okay, these are great. They're awesome. I would go into my backyard and have it out if someone had one, but it's just going to stay in the box. I'll light it up and hopefully the batteries won't leak.
Do you have the Force Effect? I think the metal hilted.
The metal hilted ones, yeah.
God, I want those so bad.
They have one at Target for like $150, I think it is. And it's like, it looks beautiful, man.
Well, see, now they've converged over into the Black Series on the stuff. And that's kind of like it's not their premier line of stuff, but that's where you're going to get your better replica type thing.
I mean, if I get one, I do have the hilt. And it's signed by David Prowse.
See, I would love
where
to
I
have...
was. It was at one of the bigger cons. It was probably like, I think it might have been Wizard World a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And they had one of the booths of someone who made lightsabers. But since that's trademarked, they weren't like, Star Wars lightsabers.
Is it laser
swords? It was like laser swords. But they had any kind of mod that you wanted. And one of them that was really cool, they had made a Sword of Omens.
Oh, wow.
Laser sword. So the
Sword
eye.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight.
And I did that right in the thing. I was like, Thundercats,
oh! Right.
That's everyone in the room got it. So I was like, yeah, I'm home.
Good.
Okay, good.
Okay, so here, I'm going to deviate off onto something real quick. Cool. So in all the fandoms, growing up, we've all gotten things, I've got Star Wars. I still collect Star Wars. That's another thing there. I've got my old He-Man stuff. I've got video games. I've got video game systems. I've got, all the Nintendo, a lot of that stuff from growing up. I've got old comic books. I'm into comic books now.
Oh, He-Man.
What, and that's just, scraping it and just the surface, I think, for us on some of the things. But it's like, what are the things that will make you start to deviate from a current collection into something else? So, like, is there a line that you all draw with it? Like, for me, I just got a ton of Star Wars stuff for Christmas. I love it. I haven't posted anything with it on social media yet because I haven't even had a chance to really delve into it. A lot of my stuff I got was Star Wars, and it's some cool shit. But, as far as some of the things that I buy, I weekly go to the comic shop because it's a thing for me to do. I get to hang out with people, have conversations about geek nerdery and enjoy that.
I think for me, it's critical mass. There comes a time where you have too much stuff, and especially like Star Wars is branded and licensed. You could buy shampoo, you could buy like things that have nothing to do with Star Wars.
It went over the top.
Like the Darth Vader colostomy bag. Like,
oh, there was a Star Wars. I've seen Star Wars water. It's like, tastes just like outer space.
Kmart had that.
It's like when I have so much stuff that to me, I go, I would love. I'm in the store and I pick it up, like, wow, this is cool.
Right.
But I'm going to put this back on the shelf because, honestly, I'll buy it. I feel I need it right now, but I'll get it home, and I will probably never look at it again.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm looking at stuff. I'm like, I've got this stuff. I'm looking, like I said, I've mentioned it before. I've got a table of comic books that I haven't gotten through. I have to start picking things out. I'll buy things just because of the artwork on the cover. I love the artwork. I might not ever read it, but I really dig the artwork. I've also stopped buying comics because they change the artwork, even if the story's good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't read the artwork is off-putting to me. I'm like, why would you do this? I have to look at this and then look at the words. It's like, some people might enjoy it, and I know it's not just for me. That's very egotistical. Mm-hmm. But then that's how I choose stuff. But it's like, I have to stop buying things in the same way, critical mass. I'm like, I've got a lot of stuff. What am I doing with this stuff? I've got things. What am I doing with it?
And if we're going to start a museum.
Here's a tangent. This is going to open up a whole nother box of worms. But have you guys ever seen the show Black Mirror?
Yes. I love that show.
Okay.
Season one. I've seen season one.
I just discovered it recently. Yeah. And okay. It seems like overall the theme is a cautionary tale about tech and technology. And there's that one episode where you can actually turn someone off.
Yes.
So, like, you can block them, and they can't see you, and you can't see them. You just see, like, static where they were standing. So for you, Rob, what you need is a setting that changes comics to your favorite artist. So no matter what it is that you're reading, it could be like Jim Lee or Jai Lee or whoever. Chris Claremont will write it.
It's like I was reading so Guardians of the Galaxy when it relaunched, you know, a couple of years ago. The comic was I can't remember who the artist was at the time, but the art was good. I liked it, and it deviated off into this weird kind of like very pop, you know, type art, and I really dug the way it was. Very colorful, it was kind of bright, it was kind of jagged on the drawings, not really sketch, but, and then it changed, and I was like, oh, I was really kind of enjoying that artwork, and then I kind of found myself liking it a little bit less. Even though I was following the same story, I found myself liking it a little less. The same thing goes with Constantine, John Constantine, everybody, you know, might know him, the TV show and stuff like that. You know, originally he was the Hellblazer for Vertigo Comics. Well, now, you know, since DC owns Vertigo, you know, they've kind of absorbed him in, and they've relaunched him kind of in the whole Justice League Dark series, which I cannot wait for that stuff to come out. But so he's gone through a couple of incarnations. The New 52, they had Constantine comic. There were some issues in there where the artwork got weird, and I didn't enjoy it. And then they relaunched it towards the end of the New 52 stuff, about a year and a half or so ago, and it came out as Constantine the Hellblazer. Hmm. And the artwork made him a little bit more thin, stringy, and everybody kind of was in that same suit. I really enjoyed that artwork, but then they've now relaunched it again with the DC Rebirth stuff. And I'm like, I was just enjoying that one. Why you change this up on me now?
Well, it's hard because, I mean, comics are definitely a visual medium, but it has to have a good story. So whereas a movie, you know, again, to take the Transformers movies that have come out, they're visually like, wow, there's a lot going on. Right. It looks cool, but there's no story. So
that's when you start looking at things as like, it's superficial.
Yeah.
It's the whole, it looks pretty, but it's vapid and empty on the inside.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
And that's a lot what happened with, I think, Batman versus Superman. You know, it was a pretty movie.
I tried to watch it again the other day. I gave it another shot, and I still just...
I have the extended edition or whatever, the ultimate cut.
I couldn't get behind it.
Yeah, I feel let down, but I felt like I'm trudging through this dark, deep, dank story, and I get to the end of it, I just feel beat up and defeated. I'm like, oh god. And then, but there were pieces that I enjoyed, there were things that I enjoyed about it, but overall I felt very just downtrodden.
Yeah, it's elements. I mean, when you're talking about a 2.5 hour movie, if you can only pick moments out of it, then it wasn't good.
Right.
And I'm hoping, here's the thing, so and I've said this before to you all, and I wrote a little bit about it on social media, but nobody reads my stuff, so, so I'm gonna be honest. But so Jeff Johns, who was a DC Comics writer, he is now taking the helm of what Kevin Feige would be for Marvel, Marvel Studios. He has got a vision. I have faith in him because he is a comic book guy first and foremost. He wrote the best run, best current run of the Green Lantern comic, and then he stepped away from it. And he's done the Justice League relaunch, some of that stuff from the New 52 stuff, he's now in the position of running that. He wasn't in that position when Suicide Squad, when Batman vs. Superman, all that stuff came out. He is now in position, and I think Justice League movie will be the first one under his helm that will start to show a glimmer of hope for the DC Comics movies. Wonder Woman, he came in a little bit late, so whatever happens in that, I've got some hope for that. I really want to see it succeed. It looks good from the trailers, but I think that Justice League will be the first thing that I think we'll see him help, hopefully pull that out for us, because I think we need a good DC movie.
Oh, hopefully it's a good story and not just a vehicle to sell toys like we were raised to become accustomed to.
Right, absolutely. I just don't want the machine just to churn out that. I want good content. I want something that I can enjoy. We all agree. We've delved off into movies, and we love movies, and we love TV shows and that type of pop culture. But I think that we deserve better content, not just something pretty, but we deserve better full content.
Right,
and
so
hopefully we'll get that.
I think as we're coming to the end of this, our final thoughts, like, we're all collectors of lots of different things, and as senators here in the Three Geek Senate, we all play different roles in different universes because there's just so much great stuff out there.
Mm.
Closing thoughts, if each of us could only keep one of our collections, we had to get rid of everything, and this is a hard choice, and let's not overthink it too much, just you're keeping one collection. Paul, what are you keeping?
The things that I've made.
Okay.
I am keeping my Star Wars stuff. Out of all of the stuff, I still have my original toys. Not all of them are in the best shape, but I still have them to some degree and capacity. And that's the thing that's, you know, I've got board games and stuff like that over the years. I've still got the original, I don't know how many incarnations of the movie releases on VHS, Beta, DVD, Blu-ray, got all that. So I think through the years, I think I'm keeping the Star Wars stuff the most.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a tough choice. I probably would have said the same answer, but to be different, I'm going to probably keep all my board games because I've got so many of them, and they've brought me so many hours of joy and interaction with friends that the boxes are beat up and there's extra pieces in them, and some of them the pieces are missing. But yeah, that's one of my collections that even though I don't get to use them as much recently, I still keep buying them, thinking, you know what? One of these days, I'll get to use this.
See, that's the thing that you say that kind of piques my interest, and like I said, hopefully in the future, you know, we can discuss that. But board games, I don't know a lot about, it really interests me.
Were
the
you
fact
there
that you
play Cash and Guns the last time was
I was
no,
not.
No.
I have played no board games with you all.
No.
I don't know. You know, other than the standard Milton Bradley Monopoly, you know, and that stuff growing up,
right.
I didn't play a lot of that stuff. So that interests me. That's something
I do have.
You piqued my interest.
I have quite an extensive Monopoly collection. Actually, we have various different types of Monopoly.
It's got to go. You picked your own stuff, so unless you start making your own Monopoly, it's got to go.
Right.
Well, I have had that idea as well.
But I think that wraps up the couture of collections here in the Three Geeks Senate. Those of you guys who are listening, whatever you collect, collect them all, trade with your friends. This keeps our geek nerdery going. We love talking about it. We love having it, and it's part of who we are. So keep on keeping on. For more geek nerdery, make sure you search for Three Geeks Senate on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Or you can follow us on social media. Simply follow at 3 Geek Senate. That's the number, 3 Geek Senate, whether it's your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
And we need you to go to iTunes and please subscribe. It's free. We need you to give us a review, 5 stars if you could, and share with your friends and let us know what you think.
My name is Brian J. Cano.
I am Paul Bradford.
I'm Robert Buxar.
And we will see you next time on the Senate floor. Good night, everybody.